Our first scripture lesson comes from Jeremiah chapter 7. Listen for God's word. But this command I give them, obey my voice and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk only in the way that I command you, so that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but in the stubbornness of their evil way they walked in their own counsels and looked backward rather than forward.
And our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Lent, we are entering the season of Lent, and Lent is a season in which we all are invited to take a step back or to slow down or to create some space and to be more intentional about how we practice our faith and to take a closer look at our relationship with God. Ash Wednesday, today, is the day that we kind of start this Lenten journey and we take some time to think about all the things in our lives that get in the way of our ability to walk that road of faith. And so, we are going to be talking about that a bit tonight, and we invite you all to think about that as well. What gets in the way of your walk of faith, your walk with God?
In our Jeremiah passage, the answer to that question started with a building. The people of Israel had this great temple, and they would go into it, and because they were there, and because God, they thought God was there too, that no matter what they did, because they were in God's presence in the building somehow just kind of made it okay for them to do whatever they wanted when they went anywhere else. It was almost as if something about the building made them special. And yet, by the time we get to our passage at this point in chapter 7, God has tried to say to them over and over again, it's not the building that I'm interested in. In fact, right before this, he even goes so far as to say, all of those rituals that you do in the building is not what I wanted you to do anyway. I wanted you to do two things, and those two things are in our scripture passage tonight. The first of them was to obey. The word also means to listen. We listen for what it is God wants to say to us. We listen in a way that helps us hear the voice of God. The second thing that God wanted was for them to actually walk in the way that they hear, so that what they hear becomes the way they live, and with a real intent on God's part, so that it may be well with you. It is God's intent that the way we live our lives, that there may be a wellness, a wholeness to who we are. And yet too often, according to Jeremiah 7, we spend more time doing things that take us out of our wellness, that take us away from our ability to hear God's voice in us and with us. And we walk in ways that are not of God, or the God that is in us and wants to can help us live a whole life. That's what makes Luke 7 kind of interesting.
Luke 9.
And let's go to Luke 9.
So our gospel lesson, we find a similar issue. We're told right up front that when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus is aware of the path that he is being called to walk, and he sets his face in that direction. He knows where he's going. He may not know how everything is going to work out along the way, but he knows where he's supposed to be going. The problem is that up until now, the disciples have been having a really hard time even listening to Jesus talk about this. Chip preached about this a little bit last Sunday, back in Luke 8 and earlier in chapter 9. Jesus starts to tell them, you know, this walk is going to have some real ups and downs. It's going to be a bit of a wild ride. In fact, I'm going to have to die along the way. And as Chip mentioned last week, you know, Peter wasn't interested in hearing that at all. He says, oh, no, not that. And there were a few other times in chapter 9 along the way that Jesus kind of gives them hints or tells them pretty directly of something that's going to happen, that's what it means for him to walk this path. And the disciples they either can't hear it or they won't hear it. And they kind of change the subject. You know, James and John want to talk to Jesus about who's going to be the greatest. And they just kind of say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. But interestingly, the disciples may be concerned about the things that Jesus is saying, but they're willing to still keep walking with him, which is one thing in their favor. in our passage, so Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. As they're walking along, they need a place to stay for the night. Jesus says, go ahead and check out the Samaritan village ahead, see if you can find a place for us to stay. And so the disciples go on ahead and say, hey, you know, Jesus is a great miracle worker that's been touring the country and doing all this amazing stuff. He's coming because he's heading towards Jerusalem for this difficult path. And interestingly, the people in the village don't really want that kind of a Messiah either. They kind of say, oh, well, maybe you could find someplace else to stay. James and John, being Jesus' loyal bodyguards, they go back to Jesus and report this indignity, and they ask Jesus, do you want to rain down fire from heaven and wipe them out? I think they've been watching too many video games, or playing too many video games. And of course, that's not the kind of path that Jesus is on, and that's not the kind of Savior Jesus is going to be. And so he turns and rebukes James and John yet again. No, that's not what I had in mind at all. And then they keep traveling. But this story just kind of cracks me up, because I think it invites us all to kind of ask ourselves, where are we uncomfortable with Jesus being who Jesus is? Who Jesus was, who he was called to be, and who he is in our lives today? Where are we not sure we're interested in letting that Jesus come stay with us?
I personally would have loved to see the fire come down from heaven. I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, but on the other hand, maybe Jesus saved the disciples a little bit of embarrassment there too. Like, could they really have done that? But I think the thing for me and for us, and what we'd like to invite you into this Lenten season, is a journey in which we follow the insight and wisdom of Diana Butler Bass, who had an experience in which she heard Jesus ask her to free him from the confines of the way in which we say Jesus can only be this way, or Jesus can only fit this kind of doctrine, or Jesus can only be certain things, and so the journey ahead for us as we walk with Jesus is asking us, how many different ways do we know Jesus in our lives already? The answer should be, hopefully, many different ways, and not just one way, and certainly not just here, but out every day where we live. If we only think like the people in Jeremiah, that God is present in a building, then what are we missing in our lives? How are we confining Jesus to this space? We want to figure out with you and listen to some scripture passages that help us ask, where is Jesus in our daily lives and walking with us, whether it's in school or work, on vacation, wherever we go, so that wellness begins to look like things being connected together in our lives, around us, with the people we meet in this world, as hard as that can be imagined sometimes with all that's going on, and yet to help us find some connection and unity in the different ways in which Jesus is present to us and with us regularly.
Our invitation for you all this Lent is to walk with Jesus. That's our theme. What does it mean to walk with Jesus, to be a disciple walking the path with Jesus? In the picture that's on our bulletin, Jesus' feet are on one side, and there's lots of room here for our feet. And you will notice that there are feet on the walls around the sanctuary, because we want to ask you all to put yourself in the disciples' shoes. In fact, you are disciples. That's what has brought us all here. We are disciples. So what does it mean to walk with Jesus and let Jesus be Jesus to us and for us?